And Susie Figley is the one that requested this song. This song is about three men on a mountain, and we've heard that story. Three men on the mountain. One was made fun of Jesus when he was up there. The other one, Jesus saved his life, and of course, Jesus in the middle. So that's what this song is about. And he died for you and me. Three men on the mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Three men on the mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Well, the man on the left was a sinning man. Tied to a cross, he bled. He could have been forgiven, but he mocked the Lord instead. You say you are the Son of God. They nailed you to a tree. Come down and save us, if God your Father be. Three men on the mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Well, the man on the right was a sinner too, but he was sorry for his sins. He begged the Lord's forgiveness, and Jesus said to him, fear not this earthly death. Before this day is o'er, you'll be with me in paradise on heaven's golden shore. Oh, three men on the mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Oh, three men on the mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. He died for you and me.
Okay, you can hear me. All right, there we are. So if All right. So on December the 1st, if we do have a trailer, we've got. But if you have anything that you can add to that, we need some hay bales. I think we mentioned that Wednesday night, some square hay bales. But we also are going to want to put Christmas lights on that trailer. And if you have any idea of how to do that, then please see Starla or myself, either one. So that will be good. That will be for December the 1st. But if you could help out with that in any way, we would appreciate it. And so just see Starla or myself about that. All right, take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 30. And if you would stand with me in honor of God's word. Mark 6, verse 30. Jesus, or the word of God says, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep having no shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And we will cover this, but it goes on to talk about how at the end of the day, Jesus fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. Skip down to verse 45. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, the previous miracle earlier that day, because their heart was hardened. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we come before you now. We thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you that you've given us the written word. We thank you that you have sent to us the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is our rest. He is our comfort. He is our sustainer. And he is the one who strengthens us. Lord, we pray this morning that you would open your word up to us, that you would encourage us out of it, that we would see and behold the glory of the Lord Jesus, and that we would rest in him, the one who came and died for our sin, and so that we no longer have to work, Lord, for our salvation, but that is freely given. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray now that by your Spirit you would quicken your word to our hearts and empower me to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning I want to speak on Jesus, our rest. Jesus, our rest. If you notice there in verse 30 that the disciples, after they had been out, we talked about this, we mentioned it briefly last week, but we talked about how last week how the disciples had gone out and Jesus had sent them on a mission. And they went out for a period of time, two by two, preaching and teaching, and they experienced both success, they experienced also rejection in some places. And that closing section there, or that middle section where John the Baptist was beheaded, and the rejection that came from Herod. And the disciples come back to Jesus and give a report, and he says to them in verse 31, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while." Jesus is telling them to come, enjoy, and take some refreshment. They've been busy. The Bible says they had been so busy they didn't even have time to eat. They were busy about the work of the Lord, and they were wearing out themselves. And so he says, "You draw aside with me for a little while." Now notice, first of all, what he does is he says, "Come." He did not say, "Go, take rest." He said, "Come, take rest." It was an invitation to come with him. You see, and what you're going to see throughout this entire passage, I hope today, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is ultimately the rest for the believer. Wherever Jesus is, there is rest and there is peace, no matter what else is going on. If the Lord is with you, you have rest. It's made available to you. So he says, "Come, draw aside." They get in a boat together. And I imagine if you were one of the disciples, you're thinking, well, this sounds really good. We're going to draw away. We're going to get in a quiet place. We're going to go camping, right? Some of you just went camping this past week, right? Did you enjoy it? Good. You're thinking, hey, can you imagine you got a chance to go camping with the Lord Jesus Christ? I think this is kind of how the disciples started with Jesus. Early on in the early days, it was these 12 men and maybe a few others following along. And as they journeyed around, they would find a quiet place and they would rest somewhere. And so in their minds, they're probably thinking, all right, we're going to get the campfire out. Peter's probably already making plans. He's going to cast out a net maybe by the seaside and see what kind of fish they can catch. And maybe they'll have a campfire by the shore on the other side of the lake in a quiet spot, and they just get to be alone with the Lord. But as you notice, as it goes on, people saw them out there on the sea, recognized, hey, that's Jesus's boat, and they ran. They ran. If you were to take and draw a straight line, probably the route that the boat took, it was probably about 4 miles. And if you were to go around, it would be about 8 miles on the seashore. And there were some that ran that distance and got there ahead of Jesus and the disciples. Can you imagine? Here are the disciples thinking, all right, we're finally going to get a little retreat. And they get to the shore, and here's all these people that are starting to gather. They're thinking, well, we just left this. Yesterday, while we were driving back home, and by the way, thank you to the many of you who expressed your sympathies in the passing of my grandmother, and thank you to the church also for the beautiful array of flowers that was sent. That was perfect for that, so thank you. And on our journey back home yesterday, we were traveling on I-40, and just east of Little Rock, we encountered a big traffic stop, and it became apparent pretty quickly there must have been some huge wreck up there. If we were moving, we were moving at 5 miles an hour, and most of the time we were stopped. And finally, I mean, there's trucks all around us. Everybody's just there, and you know, it's getting later and later, and after a couple hours pass, you're just kind of with kids in the car, nowhere to get out. You can imagine it was not a real restful situation. We had listened to Adventures in Odyssey, and we had run through that, and we were about ready to rewind that and go back to the beginning, and it just seemed like the day was getting longer, and we were making no progress. Finally, Kenny, you'll have to forgive me. We got stopped for about an hour under an overpass, and the exit was right back here, and you could see if we went up the wrong side, you could finally get off. And so I finally said, we've got to get off that. Anyway, I'm sorry, but that's what we did. We went up the wrong side, and we took off down, and we got down on the side highway. And I tell you what, the sun by this time had set, but it was Highway 70. And there was no more beautiful sight than it still had traffic on it, but it felt like there was this freeway in front of us. When we finally got to a certain area, we got out of the traffic, and you could see, and there wasn't a car for a long ways ahead. You felt like, the sense of relief and peace. The stress was starting to rise off from being confined in, and I think that's maybe what the disciples were feeling. As they're in that boat rowing across and going to this other shore, they're feeling like all the crowds are leaving, but then they get to this other side and the crowds are gathering there. And you can imagine the sense of, oh no, they're here again. But that's not Jesus's reaction. Notice with me how Jesus reacts to the crowds. It says that Jesus, when he came out, verse 34, saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep without a shepherd. You see, Jesus looks at the crowds and he does not see a bother. He looks at you and me and he does not see trouble. He sees sheep. He sees those who need him. And what he begins to do is provide a rest for everyone present. You say, well, how is this a rest for the disciples? What the disciples are going to learn is wherever Jesus is, there is rest. Because what the disciples are going to learn is that wherever Jesus is, he is their sustainer and he is the one who satisfies in all things. So I want you to look with me. He sees them, and he's moved with compassion for them, and he begins to teach them many things. But notice in verse 35, it says, when the day was now far spent. So it's getting late in the day. The disciples are spent. They're tired. The day is spent. They're tired. The people have been there all day, and they did not make plans to be out in the middle of nowhere all day. And they're hungry. And the disciples finally come and say, Jesus, they need something to eat. Just send them away. That's probably what they've been thinking in the back of their minds all day. Just send everybody away. But Jesus has been ministering, and he says, you give them something to eat. Now, what would your reaction be? How? What? Some of you ladies have felt that before, right? Some of you ladies feel that right now leading up to Thanksgiving. What? How? Where's it going to come from? How are we going to do all this, right? But imagine 5,000 men plus women and children out there, and they say, he says to you, give them something to eat. You find something for them. And so they hunt around, and they come up with, as we find out in another gospel, a little boy with five small loaves and two fish sandwiches. And he says, well, make everybody sit down. They bring it to Jesus. And there, Jesus begins to break and to bless the loaves and distribute. And by a miracle, it only comes from him. The more he distributes, the more there is. And pretty soon, all 12 men are going, and they're going back and forth, and they're taking baskets to each and every group of 50 or 100 that are sitting around in a circle, and they're passing it around. And this little lunch, this little sack lunch, is being spread out to everybody, so that the scripture says that they all took, including the disciples, they all took, and they were satisfied. They were filled. But you know what? I read this account and I realize two things. First of all, did Jesus start with trying to feed the crowd? Well, yes and no. But he didn't start with trying to feed them physically. He started with feeding them spiritually. He started with teaching them. And that should be a lesson to us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who brings all satisfaction. He's the one that satisfies, but what he satisfies most is, first of all, the soul. You see, Jesus taught them many things, and in teaching them many things, he was teaching them about himself. He was teaching them about the Father. He was revealing to them the Father's glory, and he was giving them himself in such a way that ultimately it was their soul that should be satisfied first. You see, when you feel tried and troubled, when you feel tired and stressed, when you've been stretched, what you first of all need is not physical rest. You need spiritual rest. It's your soul that's not at rest. I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 4. You could turn there if you want to. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll look at this really quickly. Speaks of this spiritual rest that is promised to each and every believer. Hebrews 4 verse 1 says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering into his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. And he goes on and he recounts, for the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. The them that he's talking about are the children of Israel in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness. He says it didn't profit them because they didn't have faith. They drew back when God said to enter into the land that he had. And what the writer goes on here to do is he makes this parallel. He makes a parallel between the promised land, the Canaan land, the land that God had said to Abraham, I'm going to give this to you and to your descendants. He says there's that land there, and that's going to be a rest for the people coming out of Egypt from their wilderness wandering. And they got near to it and they drew back. They did not want to enter into the rest that God had prepared for them. And so he says, eventually Joshua took them into the land. But if you look down with me in verse 7, He says, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest, that is God's rest, has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Now, go back to Mark chapter 6. I want to explain this to you, what's happening over here in Hebrews and how it relates to Mark 6. What's happening is this, that the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, there was a rest that was promised for the people of Israel, that if they would walk by faith and they would trust the Lord, and that they would walk according to his promise, that he said, I'm going to go before you, I'm going to drive out your enemies, they would enter into this land of Canaan and it would become a rest for them. But they drew back in fear. And so he's exhorting them and he's saying, listen, Jesus is our rest. Jesus is the one through whom we find rest in our soul. He said eventually they did enter into the land, and it was a physical entering in, but there is a much greater rest that God was talking about and that God was promising. It was not just a physical rest, just a satisfying and filling of the belly, just a satisfying and filling of our stomach, or just taking a nice long nap and recouping of the body. Yes, those are important, but he was saying there's a much greater rest that God has promised, and that's the rest that's available through the Lord Jesus Christ that comes only through the soul. And that rest comes to those who have ceased from their own works. What he's saying is that when you come to a place in your life that you realize, I cannot work my way towards righteousness with God, I simply take by faith what Christ has already done for me, there comes a peace and a rest in the soul. There comes an acknowledgement that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but what? He washed it white as snow. And what a peace and what a rest fills the heart then, to know that we are secure with God and that he has made the way of access for us, and that he himself is our rest. You say, well, go back to Mark 6. Well, how is it a rest then, if it seems like they're busy? What the disciples are learning in all this work that he's got them involved in is that there is rest wherever Jesus is. Rest ultimately comes through peace in the heart, not just physically. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? Rest comes through peace, and the peace comes through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did there on that day was he took bread and he satisfied spiritually their need. Then he satisfied physically their need. They ate and were filled. But now go down to verse 45. The disciples get back in the boat. Jesus sends the crowds away. And he sends the disciples away first. Verse 46, when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Evening comes, the boat's in the middle of the sea. He was alone on the land. About the fourth watch, he sees them rowing. Now, the fourth watch would be between 3 and 6 a.m. So imagine this, the end of the day. He sends the disciples away. He says, guys, get back in the boat. Seems like the only place they could find a moment of quiet is out there on the sea, right? And so he says, get back in the boat. Y'all go back over to the other side. He dismisses the crowds, and then he himself goes up into a mountain to pray. All night till 3 in the morning, they're rowing and rowing and rowing, which should have taken only at most an hour, maybe two, is stretching later and later and later and later, because the wind is blowing against them. You may remember a few weeks ago we talked about how the disciples were on the same sea, and as they were rowing, the wind came, a storm came, the waves were boisterous and all around them and rolling all around them, and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. And they said that they tried everything they could, and finally they wake up Jesus and said, we're about to drown. And Jesus gets up and calms the sea. But then he rebuked them gently, saying, where's your faith, right? Well, I'm sure that's going through the disciples' mind. as they're out there rowing. Maybe Peter's turning to James, and the Bible doesn't say this, but maybe Peter's turning to James and saying, we've got to keep at it. The Lord rebuked us for giving up before. We've got to keep rowing, right? We've got to keep pulling. And so they're working and they're toiling and they're straining. They're trying to do God's will, but they're doing it in their own energy. The Bible makes note of this, verse 48. The Bible says, he saw them. He saw them. In the midst of their toil on the sea, the Bible says, Jesus saw them. His eye was upon them. He was praying. And he was praying in that moment for them. Listen to me. You may feel like right now, today, that you are toiling and the going is rough. The winds are blowing against you. The sea's against you. Everything's going against you. And you may wonder, where is Jesus in all this? The Bible says that he saw them. And he sees you too. Where is your rest? His eye is upon you. His eye is upon you. Then this Bible secondly says, not only did he see them, but notice in a few words here, it says, now about the fourth watch of the night, he, what? Came to them. The Lord Jesus saw them in their toil, but then not only did he see them, he also came to them. This reminds me of back in the Old Testament. There was a woman named Hagar, and she got into a fight with her mistress, Sarah, Abraham's wife, and got into a dispute, and she runs and she hides. And there, while she's hiding in the desert, the Lord appears to her, gives her refreshment, and sends her back. And she said, you are the God who sees. You are the God who sees. You may feel like you are right now in the midst of the battle and wonder, where is God? The promise of Scripture is that he sees. Not only does he see, but he draws near. He comes. The Bible says that he would have passed them by, or he would have come alongside them. He's just walking upon the water, and they're rowing for all they're worth, and they look up, and they see him, and they're afraid, and they say, it's a ghost. But when they cry out, as soon as they recognize him there, what does he do? But he gives them a word. He calls to them. He sees them, he comes to them, then he calls to them. And the word that he calls to them is this: it is I. You think any of the disciples said, who's I? You think they wondered? They knew who it was. The minute he said, it is I. It's the great I am there upon the water. They knew. The minute he identified himself, he didn't have to say, it's me, Jesus of Nazareth. He just simply said, it is I. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Don't be afraid. In the Gospel of Matthew, you know this account. Peter, this is where Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus says, well, come on. Peter steps out of the boat, puts one foot down, fills that water congeal underneath him, and steps out with the other foot, and the same thing, and he begins to walk. One step, best step, closer to Jesus. Can you imagine? In that moment, for some reason, Peter stopped looking at Jesus. Maybe it was he turned around to tell all the disciples, hey, look what I'm doing. And then noticed the waves around him. And in that moment, he began to sink. And he cries out again to Jesus, says, Lord, save me. And the Lord, the Bible says, reaches down his hand in Matthew 14, takes him by the hand and pulls him up out of the water and saves him. You see, what was going on here? In the midst of their toil, trying to do what Jesus had told them to do, straining in their own strength, Jesus comes to them on the water. And there's a message here. The message is this, that what they thought was over their head, what they thought was against them, was already under his feet. You see, the waves were no problem for Jesus. The wind was no problem for Jesus. The trial that they were enduring in that moment was no problem for Jesus. He was going step by step over it. I don't know what you're facing today, but I do know this, whatever it is, those waves, that wind, is no problem for the Lord Jesus Christ. He rules over it, he's already conquered it, and he will be with you in the midst of it if you cry out to him. Bible says Jesus gets in the boat, and immediately the wind ceased, and they're in utter astonishment. They're utterly amazed. Can you imagine? As they're rowing to shore after the wind has ceased, for hours they've been straining against the howling wind and trying to row uphill and down, and they're making no progress, but now Jesus is in the boat with them, and what happens? Every little ripple the oars make on that lake, you can hear as peace completely descends upon the whole scene. Every little movement the boat makes, the water gently laps against the side as they go to their shore. You say, what does this have to do with Jesus' arrest? Well, when we're toiling for Jesus, if we're toiling without him in the boat, it will be hard. But when you begin to realize that he is our strength, that he sees us, that he comes to us, that he even calls to us, it is I, don't be afraid in the midst of our storm, we can take heart and know that he is our peace. No matter what storms may come, no matter what winds may howl, Jesus is our peace in the midst of it. Would you stand with me this morning? The Lord Jesus is our rest. The Lord Jesus is our sustainer, the one who satisfies our soul. And the Lord Jesus is our strength, the one who says to us in the midst of the storm, it is I, be of good cheer, do not be afraid. Where are you this morning? Are you hungry in soul? Are you missing fellowship with the Lord? Look to him as the one who fills you. Look to him as your rest. Say, Lord Jesus, fill me. Strengthen me, sustain me. Are you in the midst of a storm this morning? Are the winds howling against you? Know that first of all, he sees you. He knows you. He calls you. He calls to you. And he says, do not be afraid. It's me. In the midst of the storm you're in, it is me. Run to him. Where are you this morning? Do you need to say, Lord Jesus, I need to be strengthened and satisfied by you. I've been toiling upon the sea, but I need the strength and the peace that comes only from you. He is your rest. Go to him. If you're here this morning and you do not know him, you've never entered into relationship with him to begin with. You've never known even a hint of the rest that he offers. I would say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ came, he died in your place. No amount of good work you ever try to do could ever satisfy, could ever do enough to earn you righteousness before God, but he did it all. Jesus died in your place. He took your sin upon himself. He gave his righteousness to you. All you have to do is simply receive it, to say, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. But I know that you died for me and I receive your forgiveness. Would you save me? And just like Peter cried from the water, Lord, save me. The promise of Scripture is that he will save you too. If that's you this morning, would you pray that? Lord, save me. And then please make that known. Believer, you're here this morning and you feel torn and toiled, worn out. Recognize that he is your rest and go to him. Say, Lord, I can't do it myself, but you strengthen me in the midst of this. Let me hear your voice calling. It is I. Be of good cheer. You respond as the Lord leads, and Becky plays.